you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us once again hear God's word as it is given to us in St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 10, especially focusing on verses 11 to 13. Now these things happened to them as a warning, but they were written down for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation, you also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure. As you reflect upon your childhood, you may remember with a grin upon your face the first time you pulled away from the guiding hands of mom and dad and peddled your new bike. Within days, you were zooming down the street, envisioning yourself as a future Mario Andretti or AJ Foyt. But suddenly, one day, you took the turn just a little too fast, and boom, you were on the ground. And as you ran back to the house, to the straight knee and a straight plan, your confidence was shaken. Confidence is often measured today in terms of how much faith you have in yourself. St. Paul in our text reminds us and cautions us of the self-confidence that we have in the Christian life. Let anyone who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. May God the Holy Spirit lead us this morning through the words of St. Paul to recognize that our confidence is not based on our own self-ability, but on the very promises of God in the midst of our weaknesses. Only as we simply trust in the preserving and the protecting, delivering power of God and Heavenly Father can we have confidence. Only as we arm ourselves with God's word will we be able to rightfully prevent ourselves from ever severing our relationship with God. And St. Paul begins his discussion in our text, chapter 10. He connects the ancient Jews, which he calls our fathers, with the New Testament church. And he says that both were God's people. Both have received and experienced the grace and the special blessings of God. All were under the cloud. All were baptized. All ate the same supernatural food. So all of us this morning have been offered the blessing of God's grace, forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, and eternal life to those who trust in the merit and the work of Jesus Christ for their salvation. Whoever turns away from the free gift of God or strays from the path once he has received God's blessing can only then blame himself. For God is the one who has created faith in our hearts and given us the new nature, the new man within us. In this new nature, the Christian then has crucified his sins through Jesus Christ, and he has become alive in God in Christ Jesus. It is at this point, then, that St. Paul cautions us, if anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. We have no reason to get puffed up and arrogant with the new nature that God has given us. For in this life, we still retain our sinful nature. Even St. Paul admitted, for I know that nothing good dwells within me. And again, we hear the Bible say, if anyone says that we have no sin, he deceives himself. The truth is not in us. Sometimes we are tempted to think that now that we reside within the hallowed walls of our seminary, that somehow the devil has waved the white flag and called the truth. But the battle of sin is still raging in each one of us. This is no small sermon that we are dealing with. We are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces of this dark age. But we as Christians do not have to despair when we see that the battle is raging within us. St. Paul is warning us from blindly turning away with our own self-abilities and thinking that the battle is somehow over. Only as we, through God's law, recognize our own weakness and inability to fight the battle, and then only as we, through the gospel, then call to God, our Heavenly Father, for reinforcement to fight that battle, can we stand in confidence. Like soldiers, we may be tempted to think that one of the best assets that we can take into the battle is self-confidence. St. Paul, however, in writing to the Second Corinthians, reminds us that our strength is apart from the law. And being led by the law, we recognize our own weaknesses and helplessness to fight the battle of sin. St. Paul writes, "The Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And Paul goes on and says, "I do all the more gladly boast of my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The power that we need to fight the battle of sin within us can only be found in God's holy, precious word. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you." What would happen if we trust and believe in the gracious promises of God as they are outlined in his gospel? St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors. We keep achieving a more brilliant victory." In the early portion of chapter 10, we heard that the devil had caused the Israelites to turn to idolatry, orgy, and drunkenness. He caused them to grumble and to complain against God. And the devil was even bold enough later to attack Jesus Christ, our Savior. And if he was bold enough to attack Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son of God, he certainly will be bold enough to attack you and me. He walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But as the children of God, we need not then tempt. The text says, "No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But will with the temptation also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure." St. Paul is pointing us this morning to the realization that since the time of Adam and Eve, even the children of God are tempted and tested. They are tempted and tested to strengthen their relationship with God. We will continue to be tempted and tested, but God will not allow us to be tempted beyond that we are able. God sets fixed bounds for the devil, beyond which temptations then dare not go. In the face of severe illness, severe heartache, and severe pressure, God indeed tempts man. But God guides and keeps us, so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us, nor seduce us into mischief, to despair, and other great shame and vice. And though we will be assailed by these things, he will give us the power to finally overcome and obtain the victory. God has never failed in keeping his promises. For we believe and know that he loved us so much that he certainly carried out his promise of sending his son. And that he who believes in the person and the work of Jesus Christ has everlasting life. All confidence and all deliverance from temptation can only rest in the mighty promises of God, as given us in His gospel. The psalmist put it so well when he wrote, "He will cover you with His wings. You will be safe in His care. His faithfulness will protect and defend you." God says, "I will save those who love me and will protect those who know me as Lord. When they call to me, I will answer them. That when they are in trouble, I will be with them. I will rescue them. I will save them." With St. Paul, then, we can be assured that the same God who sent His only Son will crush Satan under our feet.